This is one of the letters that I found. Eva Hubbock was a dear friend of mine.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
Oh, you must tell me about her.
And she met me through... I was working with the Bloomsbury House Refugee Committee, and from 1939, and I was about to leave them in some rather unhappy circumstances, and Eva knew all the circumstances, and she was rather disgusted with them, and sort of rather pro-me.
So she was your protector, in a way?
In a way. So yes.
She
knew.
You knew her personally before?
You knew her personally?
No, I only knew her through Aline McKinnon. Mm-hmm. You know Aline McKinnon, don't you?
No, now tell me who she is. I don't know.
Don't you? Oh, yeah. She really belongs in your sort of category of non-militant. She was one of the, a very prominent liberal woman. And Aline died just a few years ago. She was more or less a friend, and Jeremy Thorpe was a protege of hers.
I see, yes. How did you first meet Eva? Let's go back to that.
Yes, well, I met Eva because Aline at that time was the secretary of some refugee propaganda organisation. I've forgotten what it called itself. And as I was a journalist, and as I was also working with the refugee committee, I was a sort of fairly natural link. Aline wanted to give that job up and suggested that I should take it over. And Eva was one member of that committee. So we used to meet at Bloomsbury House with other Bloomsbury House people. In this way, she heard that I was leaving.
Bloomsbury House being what, actually?
Well, that was the... I'm so sorry.
No, don't mind.
Bloomsbury House was the headquarters of first the German Jewish Refugee Aid Society and then the Jewish Refugees Committee, as it became afterwards.
Yes. It was next door to Woburn House, wasn't it?
It was in Bloomsbury Street. And Woburn House was...
Eva was important in that world, wasn't she?
She was important not in Bloomsbury House itself, but in connection with refugee affairs and with various liaison committees, and I was also members of those committees, and they suggested that I should take over the secretaryship of this propaganda Refugee Opinion Council, it was called.
Oh, yes. What was that for? Just to represent...
To let some of the basic facts of what was going on in Germany out into the world that didn't believe it here. And there was a great deal of ill feeling, as you remember, about refugees who came over. Mm-hmm. And the people of, very much as there is the antagonism now about Jamaicans and so on, at that time, if people spoke German in Golders Green, you know, all the local inhabitants said that they were being taken over by German spies and so on and so on. Yes.
So when was your first, how did you first meet Eva then? Just on one of those committees?
I think so, yes. And then we found we had a lot in common and we became really good friends. Yes.
What did you have in common, as a matter of fact?
Well,
she's a very interesting woman. She's a key woman in the whole of the interwar period, I think, actually.
She was extremely shy.
Was she?
Incredibly shy.
I never knew.
In a way, she told me once, she must then have been somewhere around 60 years of age, and she told me that she knew that she felt about things and about people exactly as she had felt when she was 20, 24, or something like this. And I'm sure this is true.
She never got the self-confidence of adults.
No, she had a kind of veneer of confidence, but it was only a veneer. And beneath that, she was incredibly shy. And... I probably said, yes, you wouldn't believe it, but so was I, or something like that. You know, that sort of got us off on, because that was also true. And,
Would you guess she was shy? Did you know that before she told you?
No, I didn't know it before she told me. And I don't think most people, A lot of people even thought that she was sort of much too full of herself. Tell me if it's too warm in here, will you?
No, it's lovely.
It's all right.
No, not too warm.
And a lot of people that I knew and liked tremendously could not stand her. They thought she was arrogant and, well, all things that she wasn't, in fact. She was not in the least arrogant.
Her that, seeing her from the outside. But
and they also thought, you know, she was an incredible muddler and...
Is that so? Do tell me about this. Not because I want to criticise Eva, but it helps you to understand what role she plays. I mean, what were the hostile views of her? How could she be described as a muddler then? Because she was always late, things.
Always late, and stockings were always sort of coming round around her ankles and this sort of thing. And, I mean, to some extent, this was true of Eleanor too. Eleanor wasn't late, but, I mean, Eleanor... always left her letters and parcels in mind. The sergeant at arms used to ring me up regularly and say, you know, your good lady's left all her stuff over here as usual. You see, could you come over and collect it? He said, I've got a case full of confidential papers. And this was absolutely routine, wasn't it?
Oh, it has
but
to be.
But how could she be described as arrogant? I mean, what aspect of Eva could be thought of as arrogant?
That surprises me.
Was she loud or noisy? How could people think she was arrogant?
I suppose that when she had really got the bit between her teeth, she was... well, the opposite of diffident.
She
really was enthused about something, and whatever she took up, she was enthused about, then that was the most important thing, and everybody had to, you know, rally round and see it her way.
Well, because she got a tremendous lot done. I mean, without...
A tremendous lot. Without this, yes, quite.
She really had drive without... which put other people off, which they took to be...
Yes. Of arrogance.
Now, Aline was another very dear friend of mine, and Aline once said to me, I cannot understand that you and Eva are buddies. I find incredible. So I said, well, I think she's an absolute, you know, poppet and things like this, and she said, I think she's the most impossible woman I've ever met, or something like this, you know. And that really did quite shock me.
Because that helps explain why she didn't get on the Royal Commission on Population, I suppose. She wanted to get on there.
Yes.
Do you think it was a personal
thing? I think it was personal, and a lot of men felt exactly the same way about her.
Yes,
I see.
She did stand for Parliament once, didn't she? Or am I wrong?
I don't think so, no.
I'm wrong.
But,
Aline did many times.
Eva didn't.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, you got to know that you had this shyness in common.
And refugees in common.
And refugees. Yes.
And a sense of justice.
Yes.
And these were various things that had cropped up between us. Yes. And, you know, I mean, you know how people... meet, and it doesn't very much matter what the age gap is. I suppose I was then about 30-ish and Eva sort of late 50s
or 60. She was very good young people, actually.
Extremely, extremely. And then she had a daughter who was backward.
That's right, Ruth.
Ruth, that's it.
Ruth.
Yes.
Rachel.
That's right. And, this was a tremendous sort of burden to her and a worry to her and so on. And probably she found me sort of sympathetic in this regard. And I mean, we didn't see a tremendous lot of each other, but, you know, whenever we did, there was a very... Yes, exactly.
Did you ever come across Anna Nelke, actually?
Who?
Anna Nelke.
Oh, yes. Secretary. Vaguely, that comes back, have you? Yes.
But she said, I don't know whether you feel this, but she said, she wrote this down, actually, I felt when Eva died I'd lost my great protector, that was her word.
Yes.
Because Eva always looked after her, went to see her, made sure that she wasn't bad. She was a refugee, of course.
Yes.
A German refugee.
That's right, yes.
And she just always... with a sort of tower to lean on, do you know what I mean?
No, I was never in that sort of relationship at all. Mm. And
but you could see how some people might...
I could well understand it. Yeah. No, I suppose to some, perhaps I was also being that much younger, also slightly flattered that in a way the age gap between us just didn't exist, and this is always a very well, I suppose, pleasantly reassuring, if you like, from my point of view. And there was a degree of intimacy. She would tell me things that I'm quite sure she would have difficulty telling
someone,
other people.
Yeah, you are the sort of person to whom someone would tell things when they had confidence.
Another person I met is Marjorie Sprince. I don't know if you
No, I don't know her.
Yes. She was also a secretary.
Yes.
But, you know, she said... You go through the London streets during the bombing, and you'd just be sure if you had Eva beside you, the bombs wouldn't fall on you.
Yes.
What did she look like, actually?
Indescribable.
I wonder if I have got a picture of
she's
her.
She's quite a big woman, wasn't
she? Yes.
Yes, she was. Well, in much the way that I am, really.
Yes.
She was not sort of... heavy and stout, but you sort of looked
ample.
At her, and ample, and a bit sort of baggy and untidy, you know.
Oh, you wouldn't say that, would we?
No, you couldn't say that, but I can. And you know exactly what I mean, don't you?
Yes.
Not trim.
Motherly looking.
Exactly.
But she wasn't fat. She was...
No.
But she was baggy.
She was
baggy.
Yes, but again, a big bones
yes,
woman,
yes,
I should think.
Yes.
Strong person.
Nice looking, I mean, would you say nice features?
No, she was, she had an interesting face, and she had a good face, and,
Wild hair.
Well, she was wild, she was a bit wild.
Untidy.
Yes,
a bit.
She was very untidy, and, you know, such things as sort of, well, I say, girding up her stockings, and, I don't know whether she wore a bra, I doubt very much whether she did,
and
such things.
Not to.
Did we in those days? Was there such a thing?
Yeah. But
yes,
and she just didn't look after her dress or clothing. Really.
No, she was. I mean, she was never sloppy. I don't want to give the impression that
she wasn't
was.
Slovenly. She
not
wasn't
in the least
wasn't
slovenly.
A major interest.
But absolutely
not.
No.
Well, that's very interesting. I didn't realise you knew her. You knew her right the way through her life.
Oh no, I only knew her from 1940. Only from then.
No, I really meant from then until she died.
Yes. So, and many of those years we had no contact at all because I was away.
That's very interesting. You're saying some interesting things about her which help to explain one or two things that I've been puzzled about. So
Remind me in a minute and I'll hop up and look at one or two of my books because it's possible that I've got a picture of her stuck into one
of
them.
I believe, in front of the biography of her by her daughter, Mrs. Hopkins.
Which I haven't read.
Yes, it's
worth reading,
actually. It's got a very good picture of her in middle age, you know, looking a bit unkempt.
Yes.
Which daughter is that?
Diana Hopkinson, the eldest daughter.
Did you ever meet her brother, Spielman?
Yes, I have, but her sister is the person I've actually talked to.
Yes. Well, my sister knew them at Seven Oaks because she lived in Kent, and I said I'd like to meet him. And
I think they had
the impression that she was rather a tiresome woman in the family.
Oh, they did. She was always rebelling.
Yes, that's right. That's it.
The
good. Yes, yes, yes,
right.
Yes.
But was it important that she was a Jew, do you think, that explains her shyness?
I think it was important to the people who didn't like her.
Who weren't Jewish themselves.
Who weren't Jewish themselves.
Yeah.
And who... saw certain facets of her character in terms of a sort of strident pushing Jewishness. I don't think I'd have ever known she was Jewish myself.
Well, I didn't remember that she was.
She was of Jewish birth.
She was very much very much a Spielman by birth, and they were
and very Anglicized, really.
Yes.
Weren't they?